come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Shock Therapy Live!
You had my mic off. You jerk.
He did. He planned that, Nate. He told me this morning. He said, I can't wait till Nate gets here.
Man, I'm going to put a horse head in your bed tonight.
Plan that, Godfather.
Yes, you did.
Oh, man.
Lies.
He didn't plan it.
Shock Therapy Live. Welcome to it. It's Steve-O, Teo, and Pastor Nate Heitzig, who is currently angry with me.
Mm. Okay, so do you guys want to know something funny?
Yes.
So I was driving. It was Sunday night, and obviously we replay Shock Therapy Live on Sunday night. And if you're listening right now, this is not a replay.
No, it's live.
This is live.
We're here.
Which is going to be funny someday if we replay this episode.
Yeah.
We'll be lying to people.
I'll make sure we
so
do that.
So in the future, if you're listening to this, we might be lying to you.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Right now we're not. It's live.
Yes, yeah. Right now.
Right now.
But back then, when I was listening to it on a Sunday night, a replay, I was listening to it Sunday night, and I said something funny. I said a joke, and I made myself laugh. I'm driving in the car with Janae, and I just start laughing. She's like, are you laughing at your own joke that you said last week? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was that I said.
Totally
I think we
acceptable.
No. It was you know what it was. It was the nom noms.
Oh, of yeah. course.
The nom noms. I
we
said
had
that.
So many people like talk to us about
texting
like, over
us.
Facebook
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Nom nom.
Dude, yeah.
that became a trending topic, man.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. But I said it. And I made myself laugh.
If you missed that episode, it was hilarious and
times.
Still revealing and deep and good.
Nice, yeah. man.
Mm. You can download the podcast for free at star88.fm/shocktherapylive. Nathan, welcome back, buddy.
Dude, good to be in the studio. Why wasn't I here last week?
You were teaching on Wednesday night.
That's
you were
right.
like, the flock is more important than the radio flock.
Dude, did you guys hear
like,
what happened?
What
you guys hear what happened while I was teaching?
What? Yeah,
dude, the SWAT
the soundboard.
Situation?
No.
Oh, that.
SWAT.
Oh, you don't hear. Never mind. You don't hear about that stuff. Never mind. Don't worry about it. Just keep teaching, man. No bigs.
Mm. What happened, Nate?
I'm just kidding.
I was like, huh?
I'm like, yeah, dude, they had to tackle that guy. All the
he had, like,
it was crazy. That's not
he
funny
had pictures
right now.
Of you with really X's over the face.
Like, this is a rerun gosh. From a month ago.
So soundboard messed up?
No, so the soundboard died while I was teaching. So we didn't
you
know the soundboard.
The
so
soundboard.
So my mic, well, it was right when I was it was crazy. Like you don't want to hyper spiritualize stuff and be like spiritual warfare.
Right.
But I was literally teaching, I was talking about Satan and I was talking about temptation. I said I was right in the middle of talking about how Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and I was like, Satan wants to
Oh! It's in the soundboard!
You know what?
It's real!
Get him, Nate. Get him.
He's wandering to and fro
I'm gonna give you titty twisters right now.
Oh.
You can't!
That's another questionable word. Boy, we missed it with that mic.
Telling Linya. I'm telling your mom.
No, so the sound just
so
just cut
so
out.
I was right in the middle of talking about it, and I was like, what I was doing is I was going through the temptations that Satan used on Jesus, and I was talking about the tactics of Satan, like what he wants to do to make you fall. And so it's almost like you're giving away the enemy's game plan, and my mic just cuts out, and so it just dies. I'm like, and so it dies, and all of a sudden the crowd's like, preach it, and I was like, you know what? I was like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm gonna feel like an idiot if there's a mic backstage that's working. I just start yelling.
You're like,
who needs technology?
Yeah.
Next day, I don't have a voice. So they bring out another mic. That mic doesn't work.
Ugh.
They bring out a pulpit mic that's plugged into the actual system. That mic doesn't work. So for 5 minutes, I just have to like open air preach. Like I just have to
that's
to
legit.
The back of the sanctuary in the balcony, like
oh,
just
cool.
shout it out like Charles Spurgeon status.
That's nice. Awesome.
It was crazy.
That's cool.
But you didn't lose your voice. That's
didn't lose my voice.
Woo.
Well, it was so funny. Like so, it like once all the mics didn't work, I was like, should I just walk off stage? Like, should I just stop?
I'm just gonna
like, sorry, the
that's
sound's
what the
dead.
Devil wanted, man.
No, and and like a little voice in my head that looked like Charles Spurgeon was like, hey, don't be a sissy, just
Whoa.
Do it.
Whoa,
a little fat guy in my head.
That's
was
awesome.
Like, just do it.
Just do it, man.
Yeah,
you're gonna be one of them wussies.
Nike
walks off stage.
That's I don't know incredible. Why I told you that story.
I'm glad you did.
No, because I asked you why I wasn't here last week, and you said because I was teaching, and
connected.
I said, oh, did you hear about how the soundboard died? And you were like, oh, you mean the SWAT? And I was like, what?
People that are going to podcast this later are going to be like, really? He just reiterated what happened 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to our world.
That's my life. I realize my life works at such a fast pace that the second I think of something, unless I write it down immediately in my phone, I have to spend 20 minutes, 5 minutes later on to remember what it was that I thought about.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be better about, like, as soon as there's an idea or as soon as there's something I have to remember to do, like you said, just put it in a reminder or an alarm.
That's why I'm hiring a handbag boy to walk around and carry my backpack and take notes of everything that I say.
You can email applications to studio@star88.fm.
Oh, please. Can we take applications for your handbag
boy? Intern.
Yes.
You won't be paid, but you'll learn a lot.
Literally.
You will.
Too much. Trust me.
You'll learn a lot.
Your nickname will be Icarus, but once you get too close to the sun, man, your wings burn off. So.
Wow.
Yeah!
Stoked about the wings.
I just did that! Woo!
I like the wings idea.
That's good. It's cool. See that? It was,
we could listen to Wings like Paul McCartney.
Oh. Speaking of, I'm going to need some advice. It is Shock Therapy Live, and we do like to have, you know,
Band
emails.
On the Run!
We do like to have...
Sailor Sam!
Advice. I need some advice. This last Sunday, Father's Day, I got a record player for Father's Day.
Everyone. Oh, yeah. He got a legit record player.
He got a legit record player.
Band on the Run.
My mom gifted me all of her vinyl. All of it. So I have boxes of vinyl, including Beatles. No Paul McCartney in their solo status. Just Beatles.
Old school Beatles.
Old school Beatles.
That's good, man.
Dude, Rumors by Fleetwood Mac, unopened, 1974.
That's nice.
I'm like, Mom, why didn't you ever listen to this? Oh, wait, it's slit down the side.
Just sell it if it's unopened.
Yeah, no. Well, actually, we looked it up online because we're
wasn't that much.
We're making money! Yeah. It was like $15. I'm like, what?
Yeah. But for an unopened... Well, this is the thing.
Yet you can't find The Fragile by Nine Inch Nails for less than $500.
Hold on. You gotta hold up on that because they're currently still making Rumors. So you might be looking at the current value because I just bought a new copy of Rumors.
I've never
But like an original copy of Rumors unopened, if it really is unopened, that could probably sell for a lot of money.
See, that's what I thought, but I looked up original unopened Rumors.
And you gotta hit first pressing.
Yeah, I didn't put that.
Because original unopened, you can say, unopened could still be a new one. So first pressing
Nate,
of
for
Rumors.
The first question of Shock Therapy Live, because this is a deep, intimate show, what are the top five records I should purchase next for my vinyl collection?
U2, Joshua Tree.
Okay. That's on the list. That's like number one.
That's
yeah.
really good. That's that a is, great, it's, yeah. I mean, sonically, it's a really, really great standing album.
Do they have Gloria?
Rolling Stones, Let It Bleed.
Ooh.
That's a really, really good record on vinyl.
Let It Bleed.
Dude, Gimme Shelter is my favorite Stone song, and that is the record you find
that's
that
a really,
on.
Sonically, that, again, very
I,
good.
They didn't have any Stones where I went this
the
weekend.
The stereo either. Separation of that album is really, really,
listen
really great.
Listen to this, dude. He's really going for it. Okay.
I really like John Mayer's Born and Raised. I think that's a really great album on vinyl. It's one of my favorite albums.
So that was the record where I got saved. It was Born.
You should get Continuum.
Born again.
You should
and
get Continuum.
Continuum's good, but as far
sonically,
as
sonically, bro,
what I like on vinyl, I think that Born and Raised sounds better on vinyl.
Nice.
What else is good on vinyl?
Nice.
What else have I been listening to lately?
I got Elton John's Greatest Hits because of Your Song and Daniel and Crocodile Rock. Yeah, I did. It was good.
Cool.
It was solid. Shut up. Yeah. It was good music. Listen here, youngin.
Dude,
it was good.
I just think you should embrace what's going on inside you right now.
Mm. Wow. It just... Shock Therapy Live, everyone.
Shocking.
Welcome to it, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Jesus loves Elton John.
Jesus loves Steve-O.
Oh, man.
Wow. It's good. You guys want to get to the questions
Heck
now?
Yes.
Right. I'm trying to think of what else is good vinyl.
They had Gloria for like $5 this weekend at the record shop.
We got some really good vinyl in there in the kitchen. It's pretty nice. It looks like hardwood.
I got the Bends by Radiohead, and that was outstanding, by the way.
Radiohead, there's some good...
The Bends, dude.
I like...
Sonically?
Yeah. I like Coldplay's Milo Xylodo, and I like Coldplay Viva
La
Vida.
Russian Blood of the Head is not in print right now, and it's stupid expensive.
I've got that.
I think Milo's Lodo is there. That's my favorite album from
there. Russian
I
Blood
love it.
I think Viva La Vida is my favorite.
No, Russian Blood to the Head, guys. Okay, 5 minutes. Tell us why. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's also Dave's favorite album.
Yeah?
Yeah, Russian Blood.
I was dating Chrissy when Russian Blood to the Head came out, and so that's kind of like our courting record, if you will. So for me, it's very personal. I love that record.
Come up to my office afterwards, and you can look through my vinyl collection.
Okay, I'll only steal seven.
Oh, Johnny Cash, American, whatever the one with Hurt on it.
Three.
Yeah. That one's, I think it's still out of print because that's an expensive vinyl right now. But that's a good vinyl.
All right. Moving on to real questions.
You guys ready for questions?
Thank you. I
have a question. You guys ready for questions?
Yeah, man.
No.
Here we go. Nate, You're ready. You're ready.
Not going to do it.
Yes, you are.
You know what? I need the air conditioner on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hot.
Yeah.
Just and it feels like these little lights that look like LED lights feel like heat lamps right
Watch
now.
Watch this, guys.
Ooh, I feel like a lizard. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Now it's the a little mood
more,
is set.
It's a little more romantic,
it's
too.
It's a questioning mood.
Pull Turn the down wine, the lights.
Light the fire. Sorry. All right, Nate, your wish is my command.
Hey, so we were in Jemez, just because you were singing that romantic song. We went to a hot spring, and there was a little cave, and there was candle wax all melted inside of it. Strange.
Okay.
That was the Cave of Wonders. I used to go there. And okay.
It's time for a question. Hey, good
the
morning,
cave
guys.
Of Wonders.
So I have a big question. Recently, I met my father for the first time.
Ooh.
2 years ago, he lived in Kansas, and I found out that I have a half-brother that lives in Rio Rancho. We used to hang out. He's pretty cool. But recently, last Christmas, I made him so mad that he won't talk to me, and the reason is because he had a birthday party on Christmas Eve. He told me about his birthday party the day before. We already had plans to have dinner with my mom, go to church for Christmas Eve service. When I told him that he couldn't go, I guess it struck a nerve because he found out when he was little, his mom was the type that would choose church over him. So he had that kind of stuff going. So, you know, this is his brother. He tells him he has to go in church.
Choosing church over his brother.
Yes. And so it struck a nerve because that's what his mom used to do. The church just had a little cleaning party to help clean the bathroom. She would go to that instead of going to like his baseball game. So he has all this resentment, not only for the brother now, but for the church. He's not a believer. So I guess my question is, how can I approach him when it comes to church, knowing that in the future this could happen again? I could have something planned at church and won't be able to make it to something that he has. How do I approach that? Thank you. I hope you have a good day. And go.
Man, tough question. I was actually confronted with this yesterday because of Little League baseball going to church.
Wait, yesterday was Tuesday.
Yesterday was Tuesday, but yeah, we were talking about, you know, my boys are both in All-Stars right now and state championship going on, you know, and so it's like possibly going to miss a couple weeks consecutively. Not me.
You're not going to go to heaven if that happens.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So, in all honesty, this is a very real question because we have friends who deal with this on the huge. I don't so much because I do pick church. Chrissy usually will take them if it's on a Sunday. I will still be at church and she'll go take the kids. But
so here's
this is a tough one.
Here's my policy. I think that on occasion, if it comes down to winning someone's soul, then it's okay to skip church. It's not like if you skip church a week. It's like if you know now Christmas Eve service. You know, I can understand he asked you the day before. You already have something planned with your mom. You already had church planned. Okay, you know what? He's got to get over that. He should have asked you sooner. But you know, I think if it comes down in the future where it's like, hey, well, I'm gonna miss church, but you know, I have the opportunity to hang out with my brother and possibly show him that I love him and possibly show him that Christ loves him and possibly win his soul for missing church, that I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think you should do that. Yeah. You know, I think you could do something like this. He says, hey, do you wanna hang out? And you could say, well, it's church, but I'll tell you what, I'll go hang out with you and miss church if next week you'll go with me to church.
That's see,
do something
exactly.
like that. Yeah. If it becomes a thing where you're missing church every week to hang out with your stepbrother or whatever, then there's a problem.
Did
but
we just
if
become
you...
best friends? Sorry.
Whoa. But if you do it, but if you do it on occasion, I think that there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think that it's good. You know, I think that you miss church a week, but you have the opportunity to win someone's soul. And again, there's nothing in the Bible that says, you know what, thou shalt go to church every single week. And if you miss, you know, church, then curse on you.
A pox on your house. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Because
and someone's like, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy right now.
I'm thinking of this situation specifically where it's like, I have a brother! I have a brother! And you're excited. And then it's like, oh man, that's amazing. When's your birthday? Oh, tomorrow! I gotta go to church, man. I'm sorry. I know that we're trying to develop this relationship and just getting it going. But I got priorities, bro.
But it sounds like he met him a while before
I know,
that happened.
I couldn't agree more. I think there are times where, for the sake of, and I'm totally generalizing here, so I need to be careful. For the sake of religiosity, it's like, no matter what, every Sunday, I must be there or I am not saved. And you know what? I'm going to forsake all others, including my family at times, which should be your first ministry to begin with. And I don't want to get into that. But and we, for the sake of church, for the sake of playing church a lot of times, not even like if you're involved in a ministry and you have a responsibility, say you're a pastor, chances are you should probably be in church.
Yeah.
If you're seriously a pew sitter in the back, you know, like, and you have a family member who doesn't know the Lord and you have an opportunity to minister to said family member, spend a Sunday with them.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that I want to give this guy a little grace because I recognize, you know, like Christmas Eve, for instance, it's a really special night for a lot of people. And so, true. Like, I know, like, a lot of families, especially here at Calvary, and a lot of families, you know, myself included, like, church isn't just like something you do on right. Christmas Eve. It's something you plan. You get excited.
Absolutely.
You dress up for, you know, it's something you look forward to. And so, like, a special event like Christmas or Easter, like, imagine, like, Easter sunrise being something like, hey, I got a party tomorrow. Yeah. Easter party, but Easter sunrise is such a big event. It's like, yeah. You know what? Like, it's something I do with
what
my family
party?
Now.
7:30
like
in the morning, yeah. We're
but
throwing
I'm just,
a party.
But so I'm just saying, you know, I think that, you know, I understand why he's doing that. And I think yeah. We also have to be careful with this. You know, I've heard a lot of people use the excuse, well, I haven't been to church for the past 3 years because my ministry is my family. My family is my first ministry. And my wife doesn't want to go to church or want me to go to church.
That's,
and so in order to, you know, make sure my first ministry, I haven't been going to church. You know, that's, you got to man up, be a man and say, hey, we're going to church.
Yeah. And maybe you just need to make cuts in your life somewhere else because you should be, as the head of your house, leading your family.
Yeah.
Guiding
them. So don't use that
excuse.
Like, you know,
right.
I don't go to church because my first ministry is my family and I spend time with my family on Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, don't use that as an excuse to not go to church.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that as well. Because you're right. That's why I said I got to be careful because I'm going to overgeneralize and you know that somebody's listening going, oh, dude, he just totally gave me the scapegoat for till 2020.
Yeah.
Not going to church until the year. Yeah, don't do that. 505-338-3700. Let's go out to the phone lines. Sorry, Dave. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
What's up?
Hey, I got a question about the concert last week.
About what?
Hillsong, Young and Free, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But I sent an invite to a few of my buddies, and I had an extra ticket. Anyway, one of them responded, and has said that Hillsong Church in Sydney, they, I don't know, I guess their doctrine's a little kooky. That they think the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of Islam. So, is there any truth to that? He sent me a page, but I don't have it on my phone, and I'm driving right now. So.
Man, I've never heard that. I've never heard that as part of their theology, but I do know this. If you search Calvary and you go to some of the blogs, people will say that Calvary says a lot of crazy things and that Calvary has a lot of false doctrines and they're misquoting and taking things out of context. The guys that I've met as part of the Hillsong movement, I've met a lot of them, a lot of the guys that are pastors, a lot of the guys that lead the music ministry, and they're all solid guys who love Jesus with their entire heart. They're sold out for him, and they're sold out for bringing people to the knowledge that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them. And so I have no reservations of working with or doing things with Hillsong, and there's nothing that I've heard them say in regards to their theology that makes me be like, oh man, you know, if anything, I know at one time, and I don't see this anymore, they leaned a little bit to the Pentecostal, you know, realm of theology as far as, you know, like a prosperity gospel, but they don't anymore. I think that was at one time, a long time ago, and the messages I've heard recently don't really delve into that too much.
I did find it very interesting when we were interviewing Joel Houston from Hillsong United when we first met him. He was like, "Oi, assalamu alaikum," and I was like, "Salam alaikum alimalu," you know, and it was great. And then we got into our interview, and it was totally
shut up.
Normal.
You're just kidding. Stop it. See, you say crap like that, and everyone's like, "I knew it."
Here's why I'm just kidding, because Teo actually found some great,
I found the stuff.
Great articles, including direct from his mouth, which, you know, you can go find some stupid article
Dude, I got
on the internet and go, oh man, man, Bono is a Satan worshiper. I found this one random website.
And Joel Osteen has an alien in his head.
Right. Oh my gosh, that would be incredible.
Or you can take it back the source. And so Brian Houston was actually confronted directly with this. And so we have official statement him directly.
I'm going to read the original statement.
Nice.
That raised all the allegations.
Journalism.
And then his response.
Assalamu alaikum.
Stop it. You can't say that.
Okay. The criticism was leveled against Houston, who is the pastor from Hillsong, after a clip of one of his recent sermons during which he seemed to suggest that Allah and God are one and the same went viral on the web. So here it goes. How do you view God? In a desert, there are two type of birds. There's vultures and there's hummingbirds. One lives off dead carcasses, rotting meat. The other lives off the beautiful sweet nectar in a particular flower on a particular desert plant. In the same desert, they both find what they're looking for. Do you know, take it all the way back into the Old Testament and the Muslim, and we actually serve the same God. Allah to a Muslim, to us, Abba Father God. And of course, through history, those views have changed greatly. But let's make sure that we view God through the eyes of Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beauty of a Savior, the loving, open, inclusive arms of a loving God. Critics were quick to question his theology and accuse Houston of making false assertions. There's a website called HillsongChurchWatch.com because somebody doesn't have anything better to do.
Just like there's a website called CalvaryChapelPastors.com.
Oh, really?
There's a website called PhoenixPreacher.com.
Dude, are you at the top
called
of the list?
No.
I'm
not even on there.
What? I'm not doing my job.
I'm flying under the radar.
Oh, that's going to go away.
There's a website
with this
called StevoWatch.com. I don't know who started it, but it's somebody
there's
who's
also,
close to him.
Dude, there's a website called applewatch.com as well.
No, nope, that's
coming,
different.
I'm coming for it.
There's a website called stevoserfsatan.com.
Oh man, that's how did who told
I
you
I just that? Started it right now.
Oh. In his mind.
Okay, so anyway, in response to these allegations.
Just bought it on GoDaddy.
Okay. In response, this is what he says. Recently, there have been false claims on social media that I believe Muslims and Christians worship the same God. This is incorrect. Those propagating these false statements have taken one sentence from an entire message out of context.
Right.
The spirit of the message was exactly the opposite of what some critics are claiming. If you listen to the message in its entirety, my point was that who a Muslim extremist believes God is determines what they believe God does and what they believe God loves. I was contrasting their harsh perspective of their God with who I believe God actually is, a loving God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and therefore what I believe God does and what I believe God loves. The PMR sentence that critics are drawing huge conclusions from was clearly a, quote, clumsy way of me explaining that though both Christians and Muslims believe they serve the God of Abraham, they are very different entities or deities in both nature and action. And he also finishes his letter by reaffirming his belief that Jesus is the only way to God, that anyone, irrespective of their religious upbringing, culture, or background, can find grace, peace, freedom, and eternal life through Christ.
Dude, imagine if Paul would have had bloggers in his day.
Man,
like,
no.
Hey, Paul, you talked about an unknown God. Are you saying that Greek mythology is true and that, you know, the Greek gods are the same as Jesus? You know, I mean, it sounds to me like he was kind of doing something like that, like comparing, you know, how Paul did, you know, our God to the unknown God.
And think about those that Paul was smashing in the New Testament because they would take a phrase or a sentence and they would misconstrue it, or they would say something just a touch left of center, going, you know, with it running. I mean, that's how cults start, by taking something out of context. And it looks like this group grabs a random message from Brian Houston, takes a random phrase from a random message, and says, no, dude, this guy must. We deal with this on the Huge with poor Pastor Rick Warren. We play him on 107.1 KNKT, our sister station.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous, some of the emails we get from people who just, if they just did a little research, if they actually prayed, if they actually had discernment, I don't know, then maybe these conclusions would be.
Well, this is what I hate about it, man. I feel bad for guys like Brian Houston and Rick Warren, because you're in the spotlight, and anything they say gets misconstrued.
Absolutely.
And so they'll take like a little CNN recording and, you know, take one little thing and like put it on repeat, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is such a horrible person. But they get blasted in the spotlight. And I see these guys, they spend so much of their time going on the news or writing out press releases saying, that's not what I said. This is what I said. You know, listen to the whole message, this or that. that. And so it, you know, it makes it really, I feel really bad for those guys because of that. You know, they're always getting blasted for something they say, but they're really solid guys.
Yeah. So, caller, I hope that helps, one. And two, encouragement to go back to your friend who's saying things like that, because it in turn becomes gossip.
It, and it propagates it.
And it really yeah. does. And so one thing I would say is this. It's always funny to me how people will trust a random stupid website as gospel fact. But then when you take it back to the actual source, to the person that it is about, they can't believe the person who is stating it directly from their mouth. So Brian Houston, poor dude, can state all day long that he doesn't believe that. And they're going to believe what they want. They're going to choose to believe the lie of some stupid website over straight from the source. But, I mean, yeah. that's the same with the world. You know, you can take them back to Scripture. You can take them back to the source. You can take them back to the Word of God and say, no, dude, this is what God's Word says, and they're still going to believe some false claim or some lie because they want to believe what they want to believe. So,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, in their music, I mean, that night, every song was just totally centered on Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of weird to think that you're worshiping some other God that, you know, with somebody else, but their yeah. words and their lyrics are so Christ-centered
yeah.
That you can't come to any other conclusion that, you know, that it's all about sport.
And I'll be the first to say there are ministries out there, yeah, and even some worship ministries that I don't quite agree with their theology.
Right.
And it can be a little weird, you know. Like yeah. I absolutely love Bethel and Jesus Culture, but they really lean more towards, you know, a very, very, you know,
charismatic
theology that I don't quite agree with. And so there are those bands out there that I still listen to that I don't quite agree with their theology. Hillsong's not one of them. Hillsong yeah. is one. Everything I've heard them say, all the messages I've heard from their various pastors, they're really solid, and they genuinely love Jesus.
Dude.
Yeah. Nice.
Thanks for the call, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Later.
Thanks, bro.
I love it when people, you know, actually call. When
yeah.
people are like, you know what, this is bugging me, I'm gonna actually open up and talk about it.
Truth.
We have so many emails to get to as well, and we just got
a big old question.
Yeah, so we might
a big old is it a text question.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So big question, but where do you want to start there, Teo? You want to pick an email?
Yeah, the emails are older, so we should get to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Choo-choo-choo. Yesterday, my brother compared being an introvert and hanging out with more people to get out of your comfort zone to denying God in front of people to hang out with them is the same thing. So I told him that I thought that was a huge difference because God has a different meaning to me than to him. He got mad and told me just because I was born again doesn't mean I should think I'm better than anyone else. That's not how I meant it, but maybe that's how it sounded. I wanted to hear someone else's point of view. Maybe I'm wrong for saying that and should refrain from saying it again. Thanks.
Now, what was it again? Okay. What was said and what did he say?
His brother compared being an introvert and hanging out with more people to get out of your comfort zone to denying God in front of people to hang out with them as the same thing.
I'm so confused.
So, like, if you're an introvert, you're denying God, but if you get out of your comfort zone and hang out with people, then...
I don't know what the question is.
I'm super confused.
Yeah, me too.
Here's
the answer. Call us.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, here's what sucks. Here's the answer. Yes. Grammar and punctuation.
Yes.
There's none of it. That is like the one longest sentence. Okay, yesterday my brother compared being an introvert and hanging out with more people to getting out of your comfort zone / denying God in front of people. So basically, he says it's the same thing. So if you're an introvert and you don't like hanging out with a lot of people, he compared that to being the person that denies God versus actually hanging out with people, getting out of your comfort zone as following the Lord.
Mm.
So,
person, you should call in.
Yeah.
But I realize that you sent this like 2 weeks ago or something, but you should call in.
505-338-3700, the phone number, or of course, facebook.com/star88. You can also keep it anonymous if you'd like to at studio@star88.fm. That's our email address, studio@star88.fm. Boom.
Okay.
Next.
This is why we love people to call us.
Yeah, for
it's
real.
So much easier when someone calls us and talks to us. And
we just misconstrued his email. I'm starting a website called Introverts for
Steve-O Watch. Steve-O Watch.com. It might already exist.
Probably. It's literally about the swatches I
Someone
had when I was a kid.
That really is close to Steve-O that watches him a lot.
Steve-O Swatch. Started, it's just like started my whole website. Arm, just a bunch of swatches.
Hang on, I gotta update something real quick.
Earlier my wife texted me when I was singing Band on the Run. She said, just stop.
Good.
Talk about something good.
Isn't it Man on the Run?
That's what she said.
You know what's funny? That's what the wives do. They're like, oh, you guys. And then we get like emails from dudes who are like, bro, hilarious show. I needed that. Thanks. It's called ministering. Gosh, Janae.
My wife doesn't
Jesus
listen.
Juke.
She doesn't listen to us because she
USSR
says
our space program.
She wants our baby to grow up in a healthy environment. Oh, so yes. She doesn't okay. listen to our morning show.
That's good.
That's good.
I also can't talk to the baby. That's a different story.
You're not allowed to look at the baby.
I can wave.
Speaking of Shock Therapy Live questions.
Okay, next.
Next.
Hey, guys. I'm from a Pentecostal church, and we do street preach. I think because we were talking about this one day.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it's really effective. We've had people pull over and get saved. Our rule is to never say you're going to hell. We tell our testimony and tell them of hope and peace. Also, I know it's a little late, but I need some help. Lately, I've been feeling really crappy spiritually, and I don't feel saved, and I know salvation can't be based off emotions, but it's been a long time since I've even felt joy or peace. It's like more and more I fall into temptation I don't want to. I don't think I'm saved anymore, and I find it hard to believe that God will still forgive me, because I've messed up so much. Things will seem to get better, but then bam, it ends. Also, I'm a pastor's kid, so I find it hard to always go to my dad or people in the church. I'm despairing inside. I don't know what to do. Also, I've battled with suicide and depression, and it's slowly creeping back. Please advise.
I think it's perfect, pastor's son.
I think Psalm 51:12 is a great verse for you to meditate on. Again, I think you're right. We shouldn't be basing our salvation off of emotion.
Yeah.
And so I would say Psalm 51:12 is a great verse. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You know, I think that there truly is a joy to salvation. And I think that joy is something that is hard to maintain.
Hmm.
I look at guys like Job, who experienced deep depression. I look at a guy like Paul, who at one point, it appears that he struggled with depression when he was praying to the Lord to remove the thorn in his flesh. And he was praying, he was asking God to remove that, and God denied him. And he said, that, you know, let my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so I think all throughout the Bible, we see this pattern of guys who genuinely love God, guys who you would look at and we would never doubt their salvation. And yet it appears that there was a time when they had no joy in their salvation.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very common for Christians to experience bouts where we don't have joy in our salvation, but in our current day and age, you go to a Pentecostal church, so especially the kind of theology that you're being taught, that, you know, unless you're happy, there's something wrong.
I was gonna say,
you know, unless everything's okay, unless everything's good, unless you're conquering everything, you know, there's something wrong. And so I think that we're in this culture where we feel like Christianity is all about these highs, going to a worship service and jumping around and lifting our hands and being stoked. And so we feel like unless we're stoked all the time, something's wrong and our salvation must not be valid. But that's not an accurate representation of salvation.
Amen.
You know, there's times of mourning and there's times of laughter. No one said, Jesus never said, hey, if you come to me, you're going to have a party all the time. Life's going to be a big party, YOLO, you know, follow Jesus. That was never the message of Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you know, if you follow me, you're going to have trials and tribulations and the world's going to hate you and they're going to want to destroy you. And it's not a yellow brick road. You know, it's flying monkeys and wicked witches of the West. That's what Christian life, it's part and parcel to being a Christian.
Yeah.
And so I think we've got to realize and understand that there's going to be times where you're not stoked and you're not, you know, rejoicing and lifting your hands and singing. But in those times, don't doubt your salvation. It's in those times that you pray like David did in that psalm that I just read you. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. So I think that needs to become the prayer we have to God. Not, Lord, am I saved? If I'm not saved, Lord, I give my life to you again. I remember when I was a kid, I'd sit in bed and I'd literally like every time I'd sin, I'd be like, Lord, please forgive me. I give my life to you. I repent of my sins. Mm-hmm. And you know, I had this idea that, man, like, if I sinned or if I wasn't doing something right, that I had to rededicate my life to him to make sure I was saved.
Yeah.
I think the accurate prayer we need to be praying is, Lord, restore in me the joy of your salvation.
Yeah, heal my heart and my mind.
Yeah, give me salvation, but Lord, restore to me the joy of salvation.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be praying for, because the joy is there.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to ask the Lord to, you know, refill us with that joy. So I think you need to, you know, not doubt your salvation within this moment, but more look at the joy of your salvation and ask
Absolutely.
God to bring that back to you.
Dude.
And I find that, you know, you say you're struggling with depression as well and a lot of other things. I think that that can all be remedied by having that prayer to ask God for the joy of your salvation. Because again, the psalmist says there at the end, I think it's so powerful. He says, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
Mm.
You know, I think that is the prayer and the answer to depression. It's like, Lord, sustain me. I feel like I can't go on. I feel like I can't do it. I feel like I have to give up, like I'm just done. And I think that's a great prayer for anyone experiencing depression. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and give me a willing spirit to sustain me.
Yeah.
What a powerful prayer for someone who's struggling with depression.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful for not only the show, but it seems like more and more we're able to talk about depression as something very real. Your dad taught on it recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that for a very long time in the church, you know, it was taboo to even talk about it, as you were mentioning, especially him saying, hey, I go to a Pentecostal church where, you know, our salvation isn't based on emotion, but in that camp, if you will. A lot of it is emotion. A lot of it is.
Well, you've got these pastors like Joel Osteen that are telling you that, you know, if you're sad or if you have bad relationships, that you're not living in the victory of Christ. And that's such a false theology, because you know Jesus had struggled with depression, you know, when he was in the garden. You know, Jesus didn't have a great relationship with his family. You know, his mother and his brothers got mad at him for not, you know, saying that they could sit at his right and left hand. You know, Jesus went hungry.
Yeah.
Jesus was sick. Jesus was killed. Jesus, you know, so you look at these things and it's like, you know what? Your theology excludes the person who our salvation is based on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I want to read the definition of disappointed.
Yes.
Okay. Of a person, this is an adjective, sad or displeased because someone or something has failed to fulfill one's hopes or expectations. Also, of hopes or expectations prevented from being realized. Something that I've always struggled with in my faith is constantly feeling like God was disappointed in me.
Hmm.
And I feel like that's exactly what you're going through. But to say that God is disappointed in me means that he had an expectation for me that I have not met. In essence, I have surprised him.
Mm.
He thought I was going to do something, and then I didn't meet that expectation.
Mm.
Now, you got to remember, God knows every outcome of everything.
That's good.
I can't surprise God.
That's good.
God's not disappointed in you. You've got to remember that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's all I've got.
Yeah.
That's all I got. You know, is like, he's not disappointed in me. He's not disappointed. Because that would just mean logically that I surprised God. I tricked him.
Right.
You know,
he thought you were going to be this great dude.
He thought I was going to be great. And then bam, I'm not.
Right. He was like, where did that come from?
Now, that's not a license to go around and do whatever you want. But
absolutely.
I'm telling you from like the heart of my struggle, that you can't base your salvation on a fear that God's disappointed in you, because then why did he even send Jesus? Who cares?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It negates the grace.
There has to be a place where we say, you know what? If I don't have Jesus, I don't have anything, even in my worst moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you have worth before God.
That's
you know?
So good. And I think this is something we especially struggle with as people serving in ministry. So, you know, this person writing this letter said that they go and they street witness. And I think about it this way. You're telling people, especially if you're preaching kind of a Pentecostal message, you're like, you know what? Jesus can make you happy. You know, if you come to Christ, you know, you'll have this assurance. Mm-hmm. You'll be happy. You'll have the joy of Christ, all this incredible stuff. And you can be like, wait a second. I don't feel that way right now. So if I don't feel that way, it must mean that I don't have the relationship with Christ that I'm telling people they should have. And so again, I think it's a misunderstanding that people, look, when you come to Christ, all your problems are not solved. Mm-hmm. It's not like the magical cure-all for all depression, for all sadness. Once you come to Christ, it's not like, oh, cool, I took like an eternal happy pill, and now I'm just happy forever. That's not reality.
Yeah.
And so if you think that's reality, and you're preaching to people that that's reality, then when you feel sad, when you feel depressed, it will cause you to doubt your salvation because you have a misunderstanding of what salvation really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's constantly why we have to get back to God's word, have to get to the heart of who God is. Who is God? What is his character? Because even listening to, you know, 107.1, our sister station, there are so many incredible teachers on that station day in and day out that say things. But there are times where I go, nope, I don't 100% agree with that one statement right there. And that's okay, mm-hmm. because then I got to take it back to God's word. And there's a lot of little doctrines that kind of float around, like that prosperity gospel or something of the sort, where, man, if you're falling back to that doctrine over the finished work of the cross, well, it's no wonder you're going to be disappointed,
it's
because
true.
that's not the good news. That the is gospel, not the gospel.
The gospel itself is that you don't have to appease God with how good you are. That's the heart of the message.
Yeah, well,
so on both ends of the spectrum, and I'm not going super grace, but if at any point you feel like you're not pleasing God, and that is what your salvation is hinging on, then that's old system, and that's not what the gospel is. That's what it released us from.
Here's the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is a hope for a future, not a hope for now.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people preach like, man, if you come to Christ, then build your kingdom here. But God didn't build his kingdom here. God has his kingdom in heaven. And so the hope of the gospel is that, man, this life sucks, but there's something great after this.
Yeah.
That's the hope of the gospel, that this isn't all there is. This isn't the end. This isn't just, you know, we live a life on earth that's filled with pain, and then we die, and there's nothing, or then we go to hell. The hope of the gospel is that after this life, no matter how hard it is, the hope is for the future. The hope that is set before us is what the Bible says. It's not the hope that is here right now. It's like, oh man, you know, I gotta live life to the fullest because this is all I've got, so I've got to be happy all the time, and God's got to build his kingdom and give me all the stuff I need here. That's not the hope. The hope is before us.
Now, we also have to recognize that there are going to be mountaintop experiences here on earth, because I think some are going, oh man, this is depressing. This way, I don't follow Jesus. This sucks. My problems are real right now. And his yoke is easy. His burden is light. And I think there are times where we can focus one way or the other with the Pentecostal movement, as we're talking about here, saying it's all happy and it's all glory. It's all glory. But then there's also this other movement that says like it's all vanity and everything sucks here. And I think there's you have both for a reason.
Yeah.
Well,
here's the reality, though. Mountaintop experiences aren't just for Christians.
Right.
That's the reality.
Amen. I'm
whether,
so glad we're talking
whether
about
you're
this.
A Christian or not, there's going to be good times and bad times.
Yes, dude.
The rain falls on the just and the unjust.
Yes!
And so I'm going to use a camping illustration because I was just camping this weekend.
Okay.
So it's like if you're on a trail. Let's say the trail is life, okay? And you're on this trail and it starts raining. Whether you're a good person or a bad person, you're going to get rained on because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But the difference between a Christian and non-Christian is at the end of the trail, Christians have a beautiful cabin with a roaring fire waiting for them to keep them warm and happy.
Maybe not fire, because, you know, I feel like the
non-believers,
fire
non-believers have a muddy pit to sit in at the end of the trail and get rained on more.
And still.
I mean, it's if you think like that, like the rain falls in the just and the unjust. There's mountaintop experiences and pain for both believers and non-believers.
Glad you talked. I was talking with a friend this very week about that thing, because there's this scary doctrine that goes around that's like, anytime, and I grew up like this, anytime anything bad would happen in my life, I would immediately go to my brain and try and find the Rolodex
what
of like what sin I committed this week. To be, oh, okay, yeah, okay, my car broke down on Monday. What did I do this week? Did I do something bad that caused my
car to blow up? Well, it can't be too hard for you, because you just got to be like, okay, oh, I'm Steve-O, that's right.
Oh, 99 Subaru, that's why. Could it be that it's 102 degrees outside and my radiator just sucks because it's old?
No.
Oh, no, it must be that hidden sin, because the demon in there, he got in there because I sinned and now my car blew up. I mean, I'm making light of it, but the truth is people truly believe stuff like that. like that. I mean, look at Job's friends.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
That's why old cultures. Yeah. You guys realize that's why old cultures. Like, if there was a solar eclipse, people would start saying, "All right, who did it?"
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And yeah. Then number one, you got to remember the universe doesn't hinge on your actions. You know what I'm saying? Like, think the rain's going to fall on the just and the unjust. But at the same time, the future hope that we have in Christ gives us purpose in the now.
Yeah.
I don't want to forget that, because I grew up in a culture, Southern Baptist, where it was so much about the future hope that it made me, you know, I could escape from what was going on right now. I could totally say, you know what? I got that cabin in the woods waiting on me at the end. I don't care about this. Litter on the ground. You know, and that's a stupid example. But totally, it's like my actions now don't matter because I got this future hope. And that's escapism, and you can't do that either.
Right.
That future hope defines our purpose in the now.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's important. We gotta remember to take it there, too.
Do we think is this a God complex then? Because thinking about what you just said, the idea that the universe doesn't hinge on your actions, the universe actually hinges on one man's actions. And that was the action that Jesus took at the cross, right? So all of creation, all of history, all of the future, all of everything hinged on the completed work at the cross.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping
on. Do we place ourselves in a position of authority or as God when something falls apart and we go, oh, it must be because I sinned?
I think for some people it's that case, but like I would say like the lady who's writing us this letter, I think that's more of an inferiority complex, feeling like you're inferior to God because of a false theology that God does expect you to be happy all the time or that God does expect you to have this together. And so I think we have this inferiority complex where we feel like, man, I'm not that way. I struggle with depression. I feel bad sometimes. Yeah. And so I must not be a Christian because I must not be worthy of being a Christian. And so I think for a lot of people, it's an inferiority complex, feeling like, man, I can't meet up. I can't measure up because they have a false expectation of what being a Christian is all about.
Yeah.
You know, the church is for the broken. The church is for the brokenhearted, the hurting. And so, I talked to a couple people this past week after church who came up and had a question about that. One lady came up and said, hey, you know, my friend is really struggling with depression. And, you know, some of my other friends try to talk to her about it and try to tell her what she needs to do. And now she doesn't want to talk to us and be around us. What should I do? Mm-hmm. And I said, spend time loving her without any strings attached. Spend time loving her without telling her what she needs to do or what the Bible says. Just love her. Just go take her to lunch and don't talk to her about what's going on in her life. Don't talk to her about what she needs to do or what the Bible says. Just love on her. And then I had another lady who came up and said, you know, my son-in-law lost his baby. And he's really taking it hard. He's struggling with depression. And he's thinking about going to the doctor, but I don't want him to because I don't want them to give him medication. And again, this false concept that, you know, taking medication's wrong as a Christian.
Right.
And you know, I had to talk to her and I was like, you know what? That's a false ideology. And so I had to, you know, give her an understanding of where depression and medication comes into the Christian life, because we really have these false, weird views about what being a Christian is like. And so we think, man, you know, if you're a Christian, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And so if you're ever sad, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not a proper theology.
There was a story recently, I hate to go here, but I mean, as you mentioned, somebody losing a child and then talking about medication. Did you guys see the story this week of the couple that is being charged with murder, essentially?
No.
They're 18-month-old. They didn't believe in medications and things like that. So they didn't want to take the 18-month-old to the doctor. The 18-month-old died of an ear infection.
Oh my God.
A simple freaking ear infection. But because we hang our hats on some of these stupid human-made doctrines, this 18-month-old died. And now they're, I mean, neglect and murder charges because of it. Or
that, here's the thing with that whole thing, that it just gets me. It gets me because I find myself in those moments just in different ways. If you're at a point where you're trying to earn a better place with God by having more faith, you're doing exactly that. You're trying to earn a better place with God.
Mm.
You're trying to work your way towards God. Why did Jesus die on the cross and raise from the dead? Answer me that.
Yeah.
You know? At that point, why?
Yeah.
Because if you can earn a better place through having more faith and then you get better results, that's not the gospel.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. I taught on the temptation of Christ, and one of the powerful things within that is, again, Jesus came to loose the captives and to, you know, basically overthrow Satan's rule over the world.
Yeah.
the chief temptation that Satan used to Jesus was he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he basically said, "Hey, what you came here for, I'll give you.
If you just bow
down and worship me."
Yeah.
And if you think about it, Jesus in the garden, he prayed to God the Father and he said, "Lord, if there's any other way, show me. If not, let your will be done." That was the other way. Yeah. Jesus could have avoided the pain of life. Jesus could have avoided the despair of life if he would have just taken the easy way out.
Yeah.
And yet he didn't, because that wasn't the plan. That wasn't the will of the Father.
Yeah.
And so I think avoiding pain, avoiding suffering, isn't necessarily the right thing to do always in life.
Yeah. Phone lines are open. We have like 2 minutes, so I want to try and get out to this. Oh, they have. Okay.
Well, we got a Facebook comment that we can get to.
Okay.
This says, "Are we to confront our pastors just like other brothers?" Ezekiel 3:17-2? That can't be right. "When there are actions specifically against God's word, how are we to best approach this to not come against God's anointed?" Thank you and God bless. So if you disagree with something your pastor is doing, what's the best way to approach
that? Are you looking up Ezekiel?
No, I think the best way to approach it, honestly, is first of all to if my pastor says something that I'm like, you know what, I'm not quite sure of that, the first thing I'm going to do is study it for myself, not just say, okay, I have this belief and my belief's different from his, so I'm going to question it. But I think to really study and see if what you disagree with your pastor on is an essential or a non-essential, and if there is substantial proof. So, for instance, if your pastor said, "Jesus is not the only God," okay, well, that is something that the Bible clearly states against, and that is something that you cannot say, you can't just say, "Well, we just have differing opinions on that."
Yeah.
And so, for me, that's an essential that you have to argue on. I would go to your pastor, talk to your pastor, and then leave that church.
Yeah.
Now, if your pastor says, "I'm an amillennial," and you're like, "Well, I'm a premillennial," and you feel like you've got to go argue with your pastor about, when Christ is coming, if it's pre-trib or post-trib, that's something that the Bible, there's differing views on it.
Yeah.
And to me, it's something that doesn't determine salvation. And to me, it's something that there's no spelled out, this is when Jesus Christ is coming. And there's a lot of different views on that. So for me, that's something that, you just become a contentious person if you're like, I'm going to go argue with my pastor about premillennialism or postmillennialism or amillennialism. I think that becomes a divisive person within the church.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it really comes down to what it is that your pastor is saying, what it's in reference to, if it's in reference to an essential or a non-essential. And if it's something that is a non-essential, is it something that is spelled out clearly in Scripture, or is it something where, here's the views, we're not really sure which one's right, and so there's no point to argue about it.
Yeah.
I think it really comes down to what the issue is.
Absolutely, and the heart behind it. What's your heart behind wanting to confront someone? I mean, with all situations, why? So that you can be quote-unquote right because your mom raised you a certain way, or...
Yep.
So, anyways.
That's a big deal, though.
It really is.
A lot of times I find myself, I just want to be right. I don't really care about the other person.
Right.
I just want to be right.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's trying to earn a better place with God. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Like, at the bottom of it, that's all that is.
Man, I hate that we're out of time. I love this show. We have so much fun.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Good show.
Yeah. If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, you can download the podcast. It is available. star88.fm/shocktherapylive. And, we do it every single Wednesday. You can also catch the best of version of this here show every Sunday night, 7 p.m., on the all-new Star 88. If you have an email question or a thought that sprung up from this show, or if you're listening to the podcast, we take your email questions 24/7 at studio at star88.fm. That's studio at star88.fm.
Call us next week.
There
Hang out with us.
Pastor Nate, thanks, man.
Thanks, bro.
It was fun. All right, we
Good times.
Out. We'll see you guys again.
Bye.
Teo, this is your Friday.
I'll be back Tuesday.
All right, cool. We'll see you guys later.
Doing anything cool while you're gone?
No.
Okay.
Star 88.